This is Mandy with Indiana Reading and Information Services. In the studio today, I have Jennifer Akers with Family Voices Indiana. Welcome. Can you tell us more about your service?
Absolutely. Family Voices Indiana is the state family-to-family health information center for Indiana. Every state has one. We're federally funded. And so we specialize in systems and services in Indiana because they differ from state to state. So each state has a family-to-family health information center that really specializes in that state's systems and services. Because even though Medicaid is national, we still may have different eligibility and different services in Indiana as opposed to other states. And so this is a way for families in Indiana to connect with systems and services, government programs, and beyond government programs in Indiana. And the family-to-family part is that we are all family members who have children with special health care needs or disabilities, and then we're trained in those systems and services to help other families. So we've kind of been there, done that, and we learned the hard way, and we want to make it easier for other families so that they can access things to give their children the best possible foundation and opportunity. A lot of times as a new mom, you probably didn't expect that your child was going to be born with a disability or a special health care need, and then you're desperate to find systems and services, things that will help them because you want to make it better. And a lot of times the doctors have thrown a lot of things at you and you don't know where to start and you don't even know what's out there. So you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what to ask for, because we get that a lot from doctors. They'll say, well, they didn't ask for such and such. Well, a lot of times they don't know what's out there. And they also don't know how to translate to government speak. So sometimes there's a way that you have to ask for the program using the terminology that the government uses. And so we help kind of translate into what those services are. So a lot of times we just talk to the family and find out what they're trying to get for their child, and then talk about what some of the options are. We don't determine eligibility at our agency, but we'll give them some general guidelines about what their child might be eligible for, and then connect them with that agency who can help them. And if we know they might run into some barriers in that particular system, we'll help troubleshoot that. We also let them always come back to us. So if they try and go to the Medicaid office and it doesn't go well, and there were some issues and whoever they talked to didn't seem to know what it was that they were asking for, or it didn't go as we had told them it should, then we'll help them troubleshoot, you know, where did this go? Where did the miscommunication happen, so that they can access those services.
I ran into Jennifer at the Indiana School Health Conference and attended her presentation and fell in love. She offered so much wonderful information about nurses and schools and children in schools and different resources that are available. Can you walk us through, if someone calls and says, hey, this is going on with my kid, I need help, what do you do?
Sure. That's probably one of the calls that we get. It's frequently they'll leave a message on our phone line and say, my child's doctor said that I need to call you. And sometimes they don't even know why they're calling us. They were just told, call Family Voices and they'll help you. And it's a new autism diagnosis, or it's a new whatever for their child. And so we go ahead and just talk to them, first of all, to find out where they are in the process. Is this a new diagnosis? Is this an additional diagnosis that came 3 years after the original diagnosis? You know, kind of where are they in the process? Just listening to them and helping them understand the diagnosis sometimes. Doctor speak isn't always the same as parent speak. And so some of it just might be reassuring them that this is the same child you had yesterday. And now you have an autism diagnosis. But all that means right now is we know how to better access programs for your child, because sometimes they need that diagnosis in order for us to access the programs. So your child, same child, wonderful, everything you love about them, but now we know what some of their challenges might be. Now we know how we can go ahead and access some services. So we give them the tools to make informed decisions. We're not trying to say, this is what I did for my child, this is what you have to do. We're just using our experience and our knowledge of the programs to give them information, and then they can decide what they do and don't want to access, what they do and don't think would be helpful for their family, because every family is different. They may have additional children with disabilities. They may have, they may live in an area of the state where it's more difficult to access services. So what we're offering may not be available in their part of the state. So we give them all of that information. So we usually find out what their current insurance is, because almost everything we're going to talk about with them is going to cost money. And so If it's private insurance, one of the things we do is make sure they understand their own coverage, because a lot of times they haven't looked at what it covers, that it's only 20 therapy visits or it's, you know, whatever the limitations are, so mm-hmm. that they understand that. Odds are that's not adequate coverage for their child. Most of the children are insured, but they're underinsured. And so we talk to them about additional health insurance. One is Children's Special Healthcare Services through the State Department of Health. If you have an eligible condition and there are 30 listed, maybe more than 30, I probably shouldn't give an exact number. And there is some income eligibility, but it's a higher income limit than Medicaid. And it becomes supplemental coverage to your private insurance or your Medicaid if you're eligible for Medicaid. And so it can help with things that are specific to your child's disability. So it's going to be more specific, like if your child has autism, it's much more likely to cover speech therapy to help with the autism, or occupational therapy to help with some goals that they have for autism, than it would a broken arm, because it's more tied to the actual diagnosis. It's meant to be supplemental coverage, not full coverage. So it would complement your Medicaid or your private insurance. Then the other service is Medicaid, which does have income eligibility, but there's an additional program called Home and Community-Based Services, or the Medicaid waivers. And what those do is waive the requirement that you have to be in an institution, or if it's a medical need, a nursing home. And it also waives family income and assets for a child under 18. They only look at the child's income and assets. And income is usually minimal. Assets, you do want to make sure are under $2,000, so you don't want big bank accounts or inheritance or anything like that. But then if that child's eligible, they meet an institutional level of care or a nursing home level of care, and they meet the income and asset eligibility, then they can get home and community-based services, which are services above and beyond Medicaid, but they also get Medicaid. And so that can be key to the difference between able to put food on the table and being on your third mortgage. Because my child had private insurance through my husband's employment, but we know private mm-hmm. insurance can say no to a variety of things, like the limitations on therapy services and the limitations. She got nursing when she first came home from the hospital, but then that ended under her private insurance. They wouldn't pay for her specialized formula. They wouldn't pay for incontinence items as she got older. They wouldn't pay for a lot of assistive technology. They said her communication device was a convenience item. Like, talking is convenient. I don't think they would feel that way if they couldn't speak. But so she was able to get Medicaid through the home and community-based services. And when you do that, that means it's just for that child. So if we had had other children, they would not have gotten Medicaid because they would not have been eligible. My husband and I did not get access to Medicaid through that program. It's only for the child with the disability or special health care need. But it really was the difference. And so a lot of times families don't know about that, or they've heard about it. A lot of times they'll call us and say, somebody's told us I should sign up for the Medicaid waiver, but I don't know what that is.
It's very important, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we give them those guidelines because it's not really diagnosis specific, although for the DD1s, you do have to have a developmental disability diagnosed before 22, but it's not like autism is an automatic because you still have to meet level of care. So it's really how you function. How does it affect your communication? How does it affect your mobility? How does it affect your ability to be independent? And then those services are complement Medicaid. So it's a pecking order. So private insurance gets billed first. If you have Medicaid in the waiver, Medicaid would pay next. If Medicaid doesn't cover it, like music therapy or recreational therapy or supported employment, then it goes to the waiver because those are additional services. And then if you had children with special health care services, that would be the last payer of last resort. We try and get, not every child is eligible for every single one of those programs, mm-hmm. but a lot of times families don't even know there's that range. They think Medicaid is income eligible or not. They don't understand that there are 20-some types of Medicaid.
Right.
And so they think if I'm not income eligible, there's nothing out there for me. And that isn't exactly true because there are types of Medicaid that have a higher income level than Hoosier Healthwise. The Children's Insurance Program has a higher level. And then there are these other services. And then there are other things they want. A lot of times they just want to be connected to other moms. Maybe a lot of the in-person support groups have really moved to online. There's a lot of Facebook groups for specific areas of the state or specific diagnoses. So we let them know that that's possible. If there is a local support group near them, we connect them with that if that's what they're looking for. If they do have a diagnosis that's something that's known nationally and they want to connect with those different programs and agencies, we help connect them to that. A lot of times they want respite. They need a break. Mm-hmm. They're totally overwhelmed with the day-to-day. Typically, our children can't be left with a typical babysitter because they have additional medical or behavioral challenges or communication challenges. And so mom and dad may not have had a break this entire time. And it's very intense, all of the doctor's appointments and therapy appointments and challenges with the schools, and you're overwhelmed. So you can actually get a limited amount of respite while you're waiting for the waiver, if you've signed up for that under the DD waivers. It's called caregiver support. And then when you get the waiver, that's one of the additional services is respite. You can use some of your budget toward respite, and those individuals are trained by an agency to be able to care for children with disabilities and their additional challenges. And then there's also sometimes Parents Night Out. You mentioned, we were talking earlier before this about Easter Seals.
Yep.
Easter Seals Crossroads here in the Indy area has a respite night that they offer in different parts of the city. And they'll actually take additional family members. So you can take your child who has a special healthcare need with their sibling, which is awesome. So because, you know, naturally they would be together, because it's not very helpful if I have care for one and now I still need a babysitter for my other child, which is frequently the dynamic that presents itself. So sometimes churches have them. It depends on what area of the state you're in. But we help them know that those things are out there, because it really is a whole different world, a whole different language that you've probably not experienced. Even if you've met other individuals with disabilities, you probably don't know they go to Best Buddies or they go to Special Olympics or whatever it is that they're participating in addition to the government programs, because we really want them to have a meaningful life. So we're, you know, making sure they know where the accessible playgrounds are, and also how to advocate for an accessible playground if there isn't one in your area. All of those type of things that really come with having a child with special health care needs, the above and beyond that you're going to want to access.
That's wonderful. I recently spoke with a listener whose child was in a water rafting accident and became blind, had to relearn how to walk, had to relearn how to use the restroom, everything. And they're still not to the degree they were before. But now with the blindness on top of other concerns, the child stays awake in the middle of the night. So the mom is with the child all day and the dad is awake all night. And so they're both tired all the time and they both don't get quality time together. So knowing that there's a place that they can go and take a break, that's amazing. That's wonderful.
Yeah. There are actually, depending on your funding sources, there are some actual respite homes. There's one called Agape in Bern, Indiana. There are some in the Indianapolis area where they can actually stay for a couple of days if you felt comfortable and you kind of needed a longer break. The other thing families sometimes don't know is when you have Medicaid, if your child is medically eligible, they can get home nursing or home health aid to allow the parent to work. So that's how I was able to work. My husband was able to work, even though my child had extensive needs. So she was able to get home health through her Medicaid component. It's called a Medicaid prior authorization. And then that covered while we were working. She still didn't sleep well either. Yeah. So I still, you know, had those challenges. But again, I couldn't have placed her in a normal daycare. They wouldn't have been able to meet her medical needs. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that families sometimes don't understand. I don't know if this family would be eligible for that, but they do need a break.
I did refer them your way already.
Thank you. We will help them with what's out there and what might best meet their needs. That's a frequent request, understandably. And there actually are some agencies out there that can help them find more specialized sitters as well if they're doing it a private route, so that they can find someone. Because not everybody has a family member nearby that can step in and give them a break.
Yes. So I have two questions now from what we just talked about. One, is all of your information or services done over the phone, or do you guys have a place people can come and visit and talk with you?
We actually operate a virtual center so that we don't have to spend our limited grant funding on a building that most people would not come to.
Smart.
But my specialists work around the state from their homes. And so sometimes if the family really does need in-person help with an application or something, they might meet them somewhere. But most of it's on the phone, although now that we're dealing with a younger generation, they frequently want to text us or email us or message our Facebook page, and that's fine too, you know. So it depends on what that family needs. I have specialists in Allen County, Delaware County, Marion County, Hamilton County, and Jackson County right now. But we serve the entire state. So if you're in Lafayette and I don't have a specialist there, that doesn't mean we won't still help you. But we've got a lot of different ways we can do this now. We can Skype, we can do FaceTime, we can do whatever it is that you want, just like we're right next to you.
Right. We were just talking about technology advances. And you also offer a bilingual service in the Indianapolis area, correct?
Yes. She can serve anyone in the state. They don't have to be in the Indianapolis area, but Aurora Blaro is bicultural and bilingual. So she helps families whose primary language is Spanish. We do translate most of our materials to Spanish as well. Aura helps with that. She just sent me our newsletter translated into Spanish. She does that each month for me. I write it in English, or one of our specialists does, and then Aura is gracious enough to translate it for us. So our website and all of our fact sheets are available in Spanish. We have some trainings in Spanish, and Aura in the Indianapolis area actually runs a support group called Gala for Spanish speakers who have children with autism. She welcomes other families as well, though. She doesn't exclude anyone. And so she does monthly meetings in person, but she also helps families who call into our message line. Our phone message actually has Aura and I did it together. So I'm English, she's Spanish. So families can actually leave the message in Spanish and I can email it directly to Aura. And so she can listen to the message and respond to them in Spanish. And then they continue the conversation however the family prefers. If they prefer email, phone, text, whatever, that's what we'll do.
And for those that are tuning in halfway through, we are sitting in the studio with Jennifer Akers from Family Voices Indiana. Can you give us your contact info, your email, website, phone?
Yep,
how do
absolutely.
People contact you?
It is www.fvindiana.org. That's F as in family, V as in voices. So fvindiana.org. Our toll-free number is 844-F2F. INFO, if you prefer the numbers, it's 844-323-4636. Our general email is info@fvindiana.org. And we do have Facebook pages in English and Spanish and Twitter feeds in English and Spanish. We do have some families that like to just message us on our Facebook page. So that's an option too, if you want to do that. It's just under Family Voices Indiana. Any and all of those options are fine.
Great. You have an abundant amount of information that we're not going to be able to cover in 30 minutes. But I did see that you have some fact sheets and trainings online. Can you tell us more about that, please?
We do have information that family can access directly to. They don't even have to go through us if they don't want to. It's all available to them on our website. So if they would like to learn more about some of the things we just talked about, they want to learn more about how do they use their Medicaid? What are the requirements for children's special health care services? What are the requirements for Medicaid waivers? They can get some general information. Those were kind of contracted through the State Department of Health. They gave us some topics they wanted us to cover, and we proposed some topics. But then as families call us over and over again and we get some frequently asked questions, we go ahead and create fact sheets for those too. Again, not to replace our services, but to kind of complement them. So, you know, we give them a lot of information and they can always come back again and again. You know, we kind of help them prioritize and expect that this might be a kind of step process. But if they want to go back and reference it, or if they're a professional that's helping families and they kind of want to an easy takeaway. A lot of families don't realize they can get incontinence items for a child over 3 with a medical need when they have Medicaid. It's one of those, you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, even when they ask their doctor's like, really? I don't know how to do that. And so we help them know which provider they can use with their type of Medicaid and what exactly they need to get from the doctor for a medical order in order to get those covered. And then, you know, when you travel with kids with special health care needs, there's additional challenges. Child used a wheelchair, so we had to figure out how to transport that. She had medical equipment above and beyond that we needed to have. And then we also talk about programs and places in Indiana that have more accessibility features than others. Fort Wayne right now is like off the charts and trying to make it more accessible. They're making their little train at the zoo accessible to children with wheelchairs.
Wonderful.
They have a program through the Y where you can sit They have volunteers that will take them down the bike paths, and the bike is set up so that the child with a disability can sit in the front and they can, you know, go out with their family and be part of the bike ride. But also in the Indianapolis area, you know, the access pass is something that is linked to a child's Medicaid, which provides reduced admission to some of our attractions like the Children's Museum, Connor Prairie. So we have one about that. Transportation is a big issue. Probably one of our top questions is the Medicaid waiver program. So we actually did a waiver journey. So it takes you through the application process. It's kind of step one. And then about 9 months later, when you're targeted, takes you through that process because you'll be applying for Medicaid and picking providers and all of that. And then there's kind of a step three, which is just here are some good questions to ask providers, because we don't recommend specific providers or specific programs. Again, we're just giving them tools to make informed decisions.
Right.
But they don't know what to ask because mm-hmm. they've never interacted with these systems before. So here are some good questions to ask when you're interviewing a provider for your child, of things that you might want to think about, their training and those type of questions. And then we do have trainings that we do in person as funding allows. But we also archive a lot of them on our website under they link to YouTube. So we know our families are frequently up at 2 a.m. And so if that's what they want to learn about Medicaid waivers, they can go ahead and pull up our YouTube video at 2 a.m.
That's perfect.
And go
though.
Ahead and,
yes.
And they can always, they tend to be more of an overview than in-depth information, because they're usually less than a half hour long, probably closer to 15 to 20 minutes. But hopefully it gives them enough information to know what to ask for of somebody else. They still don't need to know that when they call us. We'll figure it out. It's a way, you know, I did a training in person at that conference and you were there. So we do those as well. But the trainings that are on our website, either if there's a provider or a family support group or somebody who's interested, they can contact us about the possibility of us doing the training in person in their area. But a lot of them have become YouTube videos as well, so that they can go ahead and at least get an overview of the different programs. We do have one that's several steps for family leadership, where they can kind of pick and choose where they are in their journey. So if they're just starting, but they're ready to start making a difference for their child and for others with special education, with learning to give testimony by sitting on different committees, we'll go ahead and help them with that and kind of mentor them through it, because it can be daunting. You're frequently the family member in a room full of professionals, but your voice really matters. You're the one, you're where the rubber hits the road. If the state's saying this is how Medicaid's supposed to work, you're the one who can say, but it doesn't work the way you have it on paper. You know, these are some of the changes that we hope you'll consider in order to make it better. That's frequently a lot of what I do, is sit on committees and make sure the parent voice is there. So when we're talking about different programs and initiatives in the state, they don't forget the family perspective and how, you know, we're the ones who are your canary in the coal mine of whether this is really working or not the
That's
way you think
important.
It is.
Yes.
You know, so we provide that feedback, and we encourage families to do that, how to talk to their legislator, how to provide public comment, how to sit on committees and really take a leadership role to make a difference, not only for their child, but for all of our children.
And my second question from earlier, I forgot to ask it. Do you provide information for people who have children that are 18 and over?
Our specialty is really 0 to 21. We're really funded and trained more in systems for children. At 21, I think, is the date they use, because that's how long you're in Medicaid. And in Indiana, you're in school till 22. So we're kind of the childhood component.
Okay.
We do help with transition to adulthood, but typically we'll partner with an agency that serves adults, because we want to make sure, it's kind of like when our children move from child providers to adult providers. It's because they just specialize in different things than we do. We mm-hmm. don't have as much experience with housing, with employment, with those types of services. And there's so much for us to learn for 0 to 21. doesn't mean we can't do, you know, our own children become adults, so we experience that ourselves. But we really do focus on 0 to 21. They're welcome to call us. If they don't know where to call, they can absolutely call us, and we'll help connect them to the right agency that can help them with whatever their issues are. If they're looking for employment, if they're looking for housing, whatever it is that they're looking for. Because most government programs do change at 18. So we've already broached that gap and bridged it and figured out how we go ahead and transition to adulthood there. But some of the post-secondary and those type of programs, we have some general information, but we usually partner with an adult agency.
And we also touched base on your Spanish-speaking service. Are you wanting to expand that to other languages? And if so, what do you need?
Right now, we partner and welcome partners that serve other communities. We do get questions sometimes. A lot of times, actually, in the Lafayette area, there are graduate students that speak Hmong or some other different languages. We know Fort Wayne has a very large Burmese population, and there's actually an upcoming Burmese population here in the Indy area. Mm-hmm. So we try and partner with Immigrant Welcome Center, Exodus Refugee, whoever's already serving those families, so that when they have a family who has a child with special health care needs, we can provide the subject expertise if they can help us with that language and culture divide. AURA can really help us with the Spanish speakers, both culturally and linguistically. We're trying to learn culture for some of these other populations, but language is always a barrier. And with limited funding, there's no way we can do all of those languages. And it also helps to have that what they call cultural broker, cultural liaison. We're a newer org. We just became the Family to Family Information Center in 2011. So they may not know, you know, why are you telling us to call them? Who are they? There are some immigration and citizenship concerns that some of these families have, and they're mm-hmm. not sure if they can trust us. I hope that they feel that they can. But a lot of times, if they're already comfortable with Immigrant Welcome Center or whoever their local connection is, then we can provide that subject expertise. So if you are one of those agencies that serves those populations and you have a family that has a child with special health care needs that needs help, feel free to call us. You know, we do use the language line as needed, but it would be even better if you could provide that language support for us, and then we can really provide the subject expertise. So we can help them navigate the system. We can help them, again, make informed decisions about what they do and don't want to access, depending on what the federal rules are, but at least have the information to be able to make those informed decisions.
I love that. My next question is about funding. How are you guys supported?
We are funded by a very small federal grant. And we feel like we're pretty frugal and do as much as we can with that. We do have some other foundations, small foundation funding, supports different areas of the state or different initiatives. But we rely a lot on donations and sponsorships. We really hope that we don't charge for our services for families. If it's a training for professionals, there might be a fee. But for families, we know they've got enough on their plate. And even $20 sometimes is $20 too much that they don't have. And we don't want that to be a barrier to them getting information. So there, our priority is making sure we can provide the one-to-one support with our funding. So in order for us to be at events, in order to do the trainings, those types of things, we really need donations and sponsors. And it can be a small amount. You know, sometimes the thing that makes a difference on whether or not we can be at an event or not is the $100 table fee, even for a non-for-profit. Mm-hmm. And if we had somebody willing to donate that, then that would make it possible for us to be there and reach more families. Because I think a lot of people are online now and maybe listening to this show or on YouTube or whatever it is that they're doing, finding us on Facebook. We try and be all the places they might be.
There are so many outlets nowadays.
Yeah, but there are still so many families who don't know. We just started with some foundation funding from AWS in Fort Wayne. We just started a Facebook group specific to Northeast Indiana because we had that additional support. And one of the comments from a mom was, where have you been all my life? Like, all of these things are just keep it coming. I had no idea that I could do these different things. And another mom said we had helped a family with affording surgery for some vision issues that she was having. And she said she saw her in church and she was crying because she was so happy that she finally found somebody who could give her the information she needed to get what she needed. And she was crying. And that mom was like, you're the best kept secret. Well, we don't want to be a best kept secret.
Right.
You know, we want families to know that we're available to help them, that they don't need to do this on their own, that there is help out there and that we've learned it the hard way. We don't want them to have to learn it the hard way. We also try and make sure we're really giving them accurate information, which is why we can reference the fact sheet. Those are vetted. I send those fact sheets back to the agency and they have to say, yes, that is exactly what the program is, to make sure that it's accurate. Because we talk to one another and have the best of intentions, but sometimes it's like a game of telephone and the information by the end of the transfer isn't accurate anymore. And then the family ends up going on a wild goose chase. Mm. And so we try and make sure that we're giving them accurate information, and then they can decide what they want to do with it. They don't have to access everything I'm telling them about. That's up to them, to their family, to their situation. But I just don't want them to say, nobody told me. I have so many families that come to me crying. If I had known this before seventh grade or whatever it is, you know, my child's life could have been different. And I wouldn't be in debt or whatever it is because no one told them. We would hope that doctors would. We would hope that teachers would. But they've got so many other things they're focusing on, too, that I think sometimes they think this is magically happening behind the scenes. And so that's why I was doing that presentation for the school nurses is, do you know why Medicaid's so important? Do you know why a health plan's so important? Do you know there are resources out there? You can be that link for me for that family. You see them every day. Let them know I'm out here and that I can help them.
Yes, very important. School health. And that's another, I want to bring you back in here for an interview on that, because that is very important too, and something I want to talk to you about. But unfortunately, we're out of time for today's segment. I do want to offer some quotes from people who have used Family Voices Indiana. What made it unique was that you provided tons of information that had the life experience to go with it. I am so relieved to have this go-to place for information. You have such a great knowledge base, which makes you so valuable to providers and families. You went above and beyond the call of duty. You are such an amazing asset to families with special needs kids. Family Voices has been a tremendous help to me. Real quick before we go, let's get that contact information for people that need to talk to you.
It is www.fvindiana.org. That's F as in family, V as in voices. So fvindiana.org. Our toll-free number is 844-F2F-INFO. If you prefer the numbers, it's 844-323-4636. Our general email is info@fvindiana.org. And we do have Facebook pages in English and Spanish and Twitter feeds in English and Spanish. We do have some families that like to just message us on our Facebook page. So that's an option, too, if you want to do that. It's just under Family Voices Indiana.
I love your service. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Mandy.
Thanks for tuning in to Iris Radio, Indiana Reading and Information Services at WFYI Public Media, serving thousands of print-impaired Hoosiers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. For more information, visit www.wfyi.org/IRIS.